One, I would ask if you have been enjoying the rain, but I don't think so this year. We've gotten a lot of rain, but, you know, years of drought and then rain, the weather, that's the way it's supposed to be, I guess. We can't control it. So, I hope you're enjoying the summer, though, because we are... Bad news, halfway through summer already. Oh my goodness. So enjoy summer while we have it, because some of you, like me, enjoy the spring and the fall. So we extend it a little bit, but sooner rather than later, we're going to have some colder weather coming in. And some of us enjoy colder weather rather than the 80 degrees, which is why we live here and not in Florida and Arizona and Texas. And Texas has gotten it worse, and New Mexico worse than us, and Mexico, of course. A couple of reminders for everyone, and I probably will change this in the bulletin in the near future. If you want to get a hold of me, use my cell phone number. Mike's original plan was to get a cell phone for the church as we continue to look for a pastor. Since there aren't any available, that cell phone sits on my desk in the office. You want to get a hold of me, call my cell phone. Just cut to the chase. And I probably will change that phone number in the bulletin as well, because I have talked to a couple of people like John. He doesn't know which phone number to use, so I've told him as well. So it's just easier to do it that way. I have my phone with me all of the time, of course, except when I'm sleeping. I don't have the ringer on because I can't hear the ringer when my hearing aids are out. And so it's kind of useless at that point. And the other advantage of calling my cell phone is I've got the cell phone connected to my hearing aids, so I can actually hear the conversation. On other phones, I have real difficulty hearing the conversation, even with my hearing aids. Another announcement, most of you got the email update. We've decided on roofing, have contacted the contractor, Empire Roofing. We have negotiated with them, and the bid has dropped substantially. It's in the neighborhood of $45,000, which is good news. And just a reminder, we could have done steel roofing and it would be in the neighborhood of $120,000. So we save a lot of money by doing it with. And these are 50-year shingles. The colors I have displayed up in this area, if you want to take a look at them. The next announcement is next week we're going to have the picnic at the Old Gun Club. And I had to look up the name of it, and I can't remember it now, but it's in the bulletin. But I think everybody knows where that is. And Bernie, are you coordinating the... Oh, okay. Gail's coordinating the refreshments, the lunch, as it were. Andrew and Evelyn are traveling, so unfortunately they won't be able to be with us. I thought that they would be having a good time on their trip, their 2-week vacation, and everybody who has worked knows that you have to prioritize your vacation time because you only get so much of it. So pray for them as they are traveling and enjoying their trip. I think that takes care of those announcements. And then in 2 weeks, we have our quarterly business meeting. At that time, we can have specific details for everyone. And then just one other reminder. We are now sending out regular updates like summary of the council meeting, summary of the quarterly business meeting, things that are going on in the church, not on the prayer chain, but from the office here. And if you would like to receive those updates, just give me your email address, because we're sending it out by email. Or just let me know that you want to be on that list, because we may have your email already stored. So if you're interested in that. I think that takes care of the announcements this morning. Would you stand with me and let us begin our worship service with the call to worship from Psalm 86, a request to God. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Give us an undivided heart. Give us undivided hearts to fear your name.
We will praise you, O Lord, with all our heart.
Yes, we will. For great is your love toward us.
You can deliver our souls from the depths of the grave.
Amen. Just a good reminder that God has saved us from the eternal death, the depths of the grave, through the precious blood of Jesus. Our opening hymn is number 730, a good, strong hymn celebrating the foundation of the Church of Jesus throughout the world. From this song, our Father God, your love divine has led us in the past. In this free land by you, our lot is cast. Refresh your people as we are on our toilsome way. Lead us from night to never-ending day. Our trust, O God, is in you. Our trust is in you because of your Son, Jesus, who has died to make our journey with you possible. And so we honor you during this corporate time together as we gather together to honor you and encourage one another. And so we praise and honor you through Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this: those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the land, from the east, from the west, from the north and the south. Our second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now, it is time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling blocks in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend them ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in trouble, hardship, and distress, in beatings, imprisonment, riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the glorious hand, and in the left through the glory and dishonor, bad report and good reports, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live, beating and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide your hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection for you, but we are withholding yours from you are withholding yours from us as a fair exchange. Speak as to my child. Open your hearts also. So ends the reading of God's word.
Time for us to present our tithes and offerings. In one of the ministerial meetings that I attended a couple of months ago, we had a discussion amongst pastors about taking an offering during the church service. Some of the pastors there said they don't do that. They have something in the back of the church. And others said, we take an offering during the church service because it is a part of worship, giving to the Lord. And that's been our decision here, is to include it in the church service. Kathy, would you come forward, please? And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship through our giving. Receive these gifts with joy from joyful hearts and grateful hearts for your goodness, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord together and praise his name. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts.
Praise Father,
Son, and Holy Ghost. Thank you. You may be seated. And thank you, Barb, for remembering that it's Congo Kids Day, because I don't think I even got that in the bulletin.
You didn't. I added it in. It really is next week, but we decided, Julie and I, that was a picnic.
Oh, awesome idea. Yes. Working together. This morning, as we pray, I have a list that I wrote down during the annual Evangelical Covenant Church annual meeting of items that they asked churches to pray for. And so let's pray together for our denomination and the requests that Tammy presented to us. Our Father God, we come to you once again in the name of Jesus. We come to you because you have blessed us with a worldwide fellowship that is called the Evangelical Covenant Church. A fellowship that is brother and sister to many other fellowships, or what we call denominations, throughout the world, including our brethren in the Christian Missionary Alliance and Converge and Baptist and Evangelical Free and Free Lutheran, and many others, and also brethren who are in other churches whose heart truly adores you, regardless of the church's stand or practice. We are one. You see that clearly from your perspective, that we are one. You see that clearly, even though we may not see it clearly. We pray today, Father, for this worldwide fellowship that you have put us in. We pray that the leadership and staff of the Evangelical Covenant Church would seek your face, hear your voice, and obey your instructions. We pray for our conference leadership as well, in the same way, that they would seek your face, hear your voice, and do your will. We pray that this worldwide fellowship, honoring you and honoring your Son Jesus, would spread the word of God throughout the world. For we know that your word will go out and produce the results that you want it to produce. We pray that this worldwide fellowship would spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. We pray that this worldwide fellowship would declare and display your awesome glory. For you are God and there is no other. We pray that this worldwide fellowship would walk in, be clothed in, and operate in the anointing of your Holy Spirit, which you have given to all of us. We pray for the sent, the apostles, what we call missionaries, who go out into the world, into environments not like ours, but into environments where they must aggressively work for Jesus. Support them, protect them, give them wisdom, give them knowledge, give them encouragement, give them strength. We pray for this worldwide fellowship, our Father God, that you would keep us all in a deep and abiding love for you and for one another, including a deep and abiding love for our brothers and sisters all over the world. We pray that you would give us a love overflowing to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, and to the world. And finally, our Lord and our God, we would pray that you would keep this worldwide fellowship in a spirit of unity with brothers and sisters of every label, every denomination, ignoring gender and race and heritage and country. We are one in you. Grow this unity throughout the world so that when you return, you will find a church that honors you as one. And we thank you, Father, for our leader, Tammy, and these requests that she has asked us to pray for. We thank you for her wisdom, and we agree with these requests that are on her heart. And so we submit them to you. And we submit them to you through the name of Jesus, which has allowed us to come boldly before your throne and ask you that you might be glorified. And again, through Jesus, your Son, amen. Our hymn is 747, and this hymn may sound vaguely familiar to you. Some of you may even know why because I think we sang it recently. In the sweet by and by. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessing of rest. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Thank you, Shirley, and all of you good singers of these great hymns of the faith. And yes, that hymn is intentional. We sang that last week, and I'll probably include a couple more hymns similar to that this summer, because I remember, and you do as well, last summer, where we lost some people. We did. God didn't. I was listening to pastor on TV, and he said he had been approached by a lady who had lost a young child about 6 to 8 years old. And when she was talking with him, she was saying, this child will never get to experience graduation from high school. This child will never get to experience being married, having children, and the joys of living in this country and all of the blessings and benefits. And the pastor responded to her, don't be sorry for the child. The child's blessings in heaven far exceed the list that you have given to me. The sadness that we have, having lost dear friends over the last 5-6 years that have touched your lives, and years before that, and as we continue, we lose friends, relatives, as the years go on. The sorrow is ours, and it's real, isn't it? It's genuine, it's real, and we need the Lord's help to recover in that sorrow as well. So that's why I am including some of those hymns to remind us that our brothers and sisters who have gone on before us are not sad. They are living it up in the goodness of God. And the other reminder is we'll get there soon. This morning, I want to continue in the book of Acts, as I've listed. And I apologize for the title. I am so didactic in my teaching. So I'm not creative like some of the pastors who are on TV and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. They come up with these creative titles. But what I want to talk about today is us, our church, where we are at, where we should be going. Do you know that God right now has assessed this church? Just like the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. And in fact, his assessment is ongoing. So wondering if you would like to pray with me to ask God to send us a letter like one of the seven letters in the book of Revelation. No, we're probably not going to do that. Maybe we don't even want that kind of a letter. In the book of Revelation, those seven letters, one of those letters praises the church with no comments about what they should correct. Praises the church, says you're doing a good job. That particular church was in the midst of great tribulation and persecution. One of the other churches, the letter to that church, provides no commendation and all criticism, or perhaps we would call it recommendations. The other five churches have two columns. You're doing this good, but you need to change this. And I believe we're in that group of those five churches. We're doing some things, in my opinion, awesome. We are doing some great things, and I listed that, or I made a printout of that to be included in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. Things like the Salvation Army, things like Youth for Christ, and on that list. We are active, but we probably can be more active. So we could go through the letters to the seven churches, which is, by the way, the traditional way that pastors approach dealing with the question, what should we be doing? Where is our church at? I like to take a different approach, and Acts chapter 2 gives us an opportunity to do that. In Acts chapter 2, we actually answer the questions of the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Here in Acts chapter 2, we find the what question to the church in Ephesus when they are told, remember from where you have fallen. In Acts chapter 2, we find the answer to the why question, to the advice given to the church in Smyrna, do not fear. Why do not fear? In Acts chapter 2, we find the where, in response to the letter to the church in Pergamum, the place where Satan's throne is. How would you have liked to live in that city? Glad we're not living in that city. That's the where for them. In Acts chapter 2, we find an answer to the who. To the church in Thyatira, how would you like to decide this question? What do you do with a Jezebel in the church? Are you glad we don't have to ask that question? In Acts chapter 2, we find the when in the for the church in Sardis when they are told to wake up. When should they wake up? Well, the answer is clear. You need to get off your bum, as the Brits say it, and get busy and do stuff. And then we find in Acts chapter 2 the answer to the how when Jesus says to the church in Philadelphia, I have put before you an open door. I call that the iron range. We have an open door. And the question is, how do we do this? How do we walk through that open door? And then finally, in Acts chapter 2, we find the actual model for recovery of a church, the church in Laodicea. When Jesus says to the church, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You're neither hot, on fire for the Lord, nor are you cold, exhibiting that refreshing walk of love. No, you're lukewarm. You don't got nothing. And so I'm ready to spit you out of my mouth. And so let's go to Acts chapter 2, seven verses, beginning with verse 41, I think. Yes. So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Just a comment. If you've never been water baptized and are interested, I'm here, willing and ready. Your brothers and sisters will support you. If you want to be baptized, just let me know. We'll set something up. The water temperatures this year, I understand, are warm. It wasn't warm when I went in, but warmer than normal, I guess. Verse 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Our Father, we read your word as Gail has read to us previously and as we have read now, because we know your word can change our lives. Bless our time together as we meditate on your word, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we read through that passage, and it flows nicely. Luke, who wrote this, writes in a very nice conversational way, and we read it, and we go on. But packed in these few verses is the example of the ideal church. It's broken down into three parts. The first part of this passage, Luke describes the resources that God has given to this new church. The second part, Luke describes the godly people who are involved in this new church, the redeemed, those who have out of the blue found Jesus as their Messiah, most of them Jews or Jewish converts, answering that question, is Jesus the Messiah that has been promised by God for thousands of years? We don't ask that question as Gentiles necessarily, is Jesus the Messiah? We answer the question, is Jesus my Savior? Is Jesus the one who I want to accept into my heart to be my King and my Lord? The third part of this passage, Luke describes the benefits of being in this fellowship which we call the church. This is a description of a local church, apparently as big as several thousand people. The churches in the book of Revelation weren't groups of thousands of people. They were small groups like we have here today. They met in homes, and they met in a circle, and in the middle of the circle, there was a stand on which was placed what we would call the communion, the Lord's Supper. And that's how they met. And as they met together, every single time they shared the Lord's Supper. That place of meeting was open every single day, any time. And believers would drift in and out, and as they met together, as they had opportunity during their daily activities, as they met together, whoever came together, they would share in koinonia, fellowship, as we discussed before. So let's take a look at this ideal church. The first section is verses 42 and 43. The resources that God has given to this ideal church. The first is, we know, the apostles' teaching. That's what they spent time in. And where did the apostles' teaching come from? What we call the Bible, the scriptures, and the teaching or experiences that the disciples, the apostles, had with this Jesus. Can you imagine sitting down in that group and listening to the stories that Peter told? Listening to the stories that John told about this Jesus. We saw this. You can't believe it, but we saw this. We saw a man who was blind get his sight. And as soon as his eyes opened, he went, wow, I never realized this world was this beautiful. We saw people who couldn't walk jump off their beds. And one crazy guy went leaping and jumping all the way to the temple. And when he got to the temple, the Pharisees went, can't have that here. Who did this? These stories from the apostles sitting there in that group, I would have loved to have been there to hear story after story. We only have a few. Sitting down in heaven with these apostles, we're going to hear stories we have never heard before. This is what happened. The apostles' teaching. Another resource they had was fellowship. I love fellowship. Last Thursday evening, there was a concert over at the Biwabic Covenant Church. It was Southern Gospel Quartet. I don't like Southern Gospel Quartet. I do like quartets, but Southern Gospel just doesn't get to me. Another problem I had is I can't hear the words. I want to hear the words because the words are the worship. Music is great, but the words are the worship. So I sat there in that entire concert with one thing on my mind. I am sitting here with brothers and sisters. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. And you know what? There was a good bunch of people there that enjoyed Southern Gospel Quartet music. They were standing, they were clapping, they were moving. Might call it a little bit of dancing. They really liked it. The part I liked best about that concert was not the concert itself, but a small group, two people, who started the evening off pre-concert music from Duluth. A gospel music group from Duluth, whose music was worshipful and more my style. So I enjoyed that part. And I connected with them because their heart was saying, I love Jesus. And so after the concert, I went over to the lady in that group. And I said, I looked you up on my phone. And you're from Duluth, is that right? And she said, yes, we're from Duluth. I said, I couldn't understand your words, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to my phone, the internet, and I'm going to track down your music and see what you're trying to say. But I enjoyed sensing your spirit in honoring Jesus. The third resource was the breaking of bread, what we call the Lord's Supper, the communion, the resource that Jesus gave to this young church, and why we celebrate communion monthly, regularly, not once a year, but regularly. That is a resource given to the early church. The fourth was praying together. Yes, we can pray separately, but God's word says that the resource that he gave to the early church is praying together. And so as we pray together on Sunday mornings, I hope you tune in. And I hope your heart, like this morning when we prayed for the Evangelical Covenant Church and our conference, that your hearts were tuned in. Yes, Lord, we want you to bless this fellowship that you have put us in. And then the last resource was the awe at the signs and wonders God provides. When we pray for people and we see results, I hope that's how you feel. Awe at what God can do. And I believe we could even have more signs and wonders as our faith increases. I believe that Jesus heals. I've talked about that before. I'm trying to grow in that area, and I've seen some recent results. Awe at signs and wonders means you have testimonies. You have experiences that you can share. And during fellowship time, sometimes we hear some of those stories. John calls them camp stories. Reminds me of camp time, when you just have this informal gathering and these kids are together. And some of you have done this. You've been a camp counselor and I remember being a camp counselor in those rustic cabins that we had back in the day. And you'd sit and talk with these kids, and these kids would tell you stories about their life. And you would tell them stories about your life, what Jesus has done. Those are the godly resources that you can read in Acts chapter 2, all contained in two verses. The next section is the godly people. What do the godly people in the church do? And that's in verses 44 through 46. The first thing that godly people do is they get together physically. They come together. That's why you come to church. That's one of the things that godly people do. And I know that's not polite or politically correct to talk about today, because people have the right to make their own choices, and we want to honor their ability or their right to make their own choices. But the Word of God says that they come together. They get together. In fact, they got together so much that this bunch of people got to be called the Way. Those fanatics, they are the Way. Jesus said, "I am the Way." And the first time we hear that label is in Acts chapter 9, when Saul goes to the Pharisees and asks for a written order that he may capture and imprison and persecute any members of the Way. And then throughout the rest of the book of Acts, we hear that label. Well, we don't get to be called the Way today. Probably just in the community, we just get to be called churchy people. Those fanatics, every Sunday morning, that's where they are. They're just churchy people, and I don't understand that. So that may be our label. The second thing that these godly people did is they had all things in common. That does not mean, probably, what we think it means. It means that their attitude was, it's not just mine. I have stuff, but it's not just mine. These things that God has given to me, God has given to me. And so I'm willing to share with my brothers and sisters, yes, the poor who are not believers, but I'm willing to share with my brothers and sisters when they have a need. There are three kinds of people. We know this. There are givers, people who give, Christian and non-Christian. There are takers in our society, and some of us get a little upset over these people whose only attitude is gimme, 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 like our kids were when they were growing up, remember? They wanted everything. And then you gave them something and they wanted more. Givers and takers. The one group that concerns me in the Christian church are the keepers. It's mine. It's only mine. This is God's blessing to me, and so I'm keeping hold of it. But we do more than keep hold of it, don't we? We give. We give because God has given to us. And so they had all things in common. It also says that they were sharing with the needy, the poor. We have poor people in our fellowship. I don't know if you know that or not. We have people who are living in what our country defines as poverty level. You may not know that. In our fellowship, sit in these pews. These folks were sharing with the needy. It also says that they were meeting together and sharing and giving day by day, continually, contacting each other. And I know that some of you do that. You're in contact. Maybe all of you do it. You're in contact with brothers and sisters, not just from this church, but from other churches as well. You're connecting with them day by day. It also says that they had one mind. Now, I apologize for that wording in my version of the Bible, because that is not the Greek word. They weren't thinking alike. That's not what it's trying to say. That Greek word literally means a fierce passion for Jesus. Not a cognitive, theological understanding. Yes, you ask me a theological question, and I can answer you with the 3 points that I've been taught about that particular theology. No, that's not what they had. What they had was a love passion for Jesus. So can you answer to me this question from the scripture? No, I can't. I just want to tell you I love Jesus. That was their passion. Fiercely loving Jesus, and then, of course, fiercely loving each other. It also says in this passage that they were day by day in the temple. That was their tradition back then. Even after they were converted to Jesus, they still went back to the temple, probably weekly, because that's on the Sabbath, because that's kind of the tradition that they had. They didn't get rid of the temple. They went back to the temple. And in the temple, they met one another because they're like-minded. And in the temple, where the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, elders, priests did not believe in Jesus, they gathered together because they did believe in Jesus. And then finally it says that the godly people were breaking bread from house to house. Now this is different. The wording is clearly different in the Greek. This does not refer to communion. And in the passage it goes on to explain that they were eating meals together. And as soon as I read that, I thought of Bernie providing those meals. I don't know if you're still doing that or not. Yeah? Providing meals to people so they could get together and have meals. I know some of you, after service, you get together and go out and have a meal together. That's what these Christians were doing. The final section is the benefits, and the benefits are identified in verse 47. They were praising God. That's a benefit of being in this fellowship. I hope when you come together, when we get together, and I hope that the picnic will be an enhancement to that, that you leave praising God with gladness. Isn't it good to be a Christian? Isn't it good to meet with other Christians? Peace, joy, happiness, engagement, seeing believers' faces, seeing believers' smiles, sharing believers' needs and sorrows and struggles. We are in this together. Another benefit is that they have sincerity of heart, purity, honesty, openness, integrity. I'm a little bit weird, you know that by now, in more ways than one. I like people to tell me the truth. Whether I like the truth or not, I like to hear the truth. I like to hear the stories, partly because I like to learn. I have rubbed shoulders with believers of so many different perspectives, and I learn from them. Jeffrey, the other day, last week, as you know, after I expressed that my theological view of the rapture is that it comes before the tribulation, and he expressed that his theological view is that it comes after the tribulation. After the service, I said, Jeffrey, I'd like to sit down and talk with you about that. And he said, I would too. I want to hear from other believers. We can learn from other believers. They had sincerity of heart. And then finally, the benefit. And you're probably going to struggle with this like I did. It says, having favor with all the people. That doesn't mean agreement. That means favor. How can the Christian church have favor with all the people? I think, if you think about it, you have experienced favor with all the people, whether they're Christians or not. That's what it's talking about here. How in the world can you have favor with all the people when you are a Jesus believer and they're not? How can you have favor with all the people out there who disagree with you politically or disagree with you morally? How can you have favor with all the people? Simple answer to that question as I close. The answer to that question is in Galatians chapter 5. You know, Galatians chapter 5. It contains the list of the fruit of the Spirit. A verse after that list, we don't spend much time on, and it says this: against such things there is no law. How can you have favor with all the people? You just walk in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and humility. That's why. They disagree with you and you just smile at them. They disagree with you and you just love them. They disagree with you and you don't lose your peace. That's this New Testament church that we're reading about in the book of Acts. Yes, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and I love you. Well, I don't love you. Well, I love you anyway. That's just who I am. That's what Jesus did in my life. I was talking with Shirley all the other day, and I was saying, I just appreciate your love for Brad and the time that you spent with him, and it is my belief that walking in the fruit of the Spirit produces the result that we read about here in Acts chapter 2, where it says daily people were being added to the church. Well, we're not experiencing the daily so much, right? We're more experiencing the occasionally God adds to the church. And some things that you don't get to know about, but I do. And that is, when I talk with people, they change their perspective and decide to start and attend church. But their decision is not to attend our church. Their decision is to attend another church because it fits with them better. Just like the music of Southern Gospel Quartet didn't fit me. They find a church that fits them. You don't get to see that, the results of that, but the results are there. People are being added to the church every day, maybe just not ours, okay? But I hope occasionally folks will be added to our church. Thank you for coming, and not just visiting, but being here every Sunday. Appreciate you. And I appreciate all of you, too, who are not visitors or new visitors, as you will. You're not a visitor anymore, by the way. You're part of us, okay? Like it or not. Good, all the good and bad that we have here together in this church. Let's pray together. We thank you, Father, for your word, and we thank you that it produces changes in our lives. We want to be more like this church that we read about, the ideal church. We're probably not going to make it 100%, but we want to work toward, getting toward this kind of church. And we thank you for your help and guidance and wisdom in that matter. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to our closing hymn, 669. May God's love be fixed above you. A prayer for you and a prayer as we sing it that you can pray for each other. And stand with me, if you would, please. May God's love be fixed above you, overshadow you with grace. May God's love stand firm beneath you, welcome you with glad embrace. Alleluia, alleluia, glorify the Lord with praise. May God's love advance before you, vigilant of all your ways. May God's love keep watch behind you, shielding you through all your days. Alleluia, alleluia, glorify the Lord with praise. May God's love be close beside you, qualify you for life's race. May God's love live deep within you with assurance of his grace. Alleluia, alleluia, glorify the Lord with praise. May God's love remain upon you and your faithfulness repay with a peace the world can't give you, neither shall it take away. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glorify the Lord. And let's sing the blessing to each other. This week I captured the music that Shirley used, translated it into chords for the guitar, and have been practicing that so we can sing it together at the picnic. And then, on occasion, when we don't have Shirley here to play it for us, maybe I'll play it on the guitar and Jeffrey can lead the blessing. Countenance.